As we open the book of Proverbs, let's pray together. Lord, we are asking that the same spirit that inspired this word move in our hearts today, and that your wisdom would take roots deeply in our lives. You know what each of us need to hear today, so speak, Lord. We are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Proverbs is about observation and experience. We can learn in all different ways. As we see in Scripture, God communicates with us through divine commands, through declarations, through these encounters. But the book of Proverbs, wisdom in particular, is about learning wisdom through observation and through experience. How God is teaching us by what happens all around us in the everyday wisdom. The four verses we're focusing on today, the four, are in a section of three chapters that are speaking about unfaithfulness. Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. Three relationships are being spoken of simultaneously, woven throughout these three chapters. Our relationship to God, our relationship to wisdom, and our relationship with our spouse. In the context of Proverbs, our relationship to wisdom and our relationship to God are like a lifelong faithful marriage. Solomon holds up unfaithfulness right alongside covenantal unfaithfulness. In these chapters, the teacher shows faithfulness as the most attractive thing. Usually what's portrayed is the opposite, right? The allure of the forbidden temptation, that which thrills the heart and makes us go after it. But the wise teacher shows us that faithfulness can be blessed. It can be intoxicating. It can be lifelong. And so these four verses we're going to explore today are in Proverbs 5. You can turn there with me. Proverbs 5, and we're starting in verse 15. Proverbs 5, verse 15. You can turn there or look up at the screen here. Drink water from your own cistern. Running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares? Let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. The point of these chapters is to hold up faithfulness, lifelong commitment in relationship to God, wisdom, and spouse as the sweetest, greatest blessing. I have to start off by acknowledging that we all come today from very different places. Some of us are single. Some of us are married. Some of us are remarried. Some of us have been unfaithful. Some of us are widows or widowers who have lost the spouse that we cherished. Some of us here want to be married. Some of us think we can never be married. Some of us are married but wish we weren't married. Some of us are left alone because of someone else's choices of unfaithfulness. Some of us here have been in an abusive or dysfunctional relationship, and that left you alone because of the unfaithfulness of someone else through emotional, spiritual, or physical abuse. What do these verses, what does this wisdom speak to all of us coming from so many different places? Well, wisdom says that unfaithfulness is chasing something that's not yours and losing something that is. That's what Solomon is trying to communicate, that in your desire to seek after something else that catches your eye, you will lose that which you have. So the invitation of wisdom is to be fully right where you are. Unfaithfulness is the allure of sin to run after something else, which is so hard for us. We immediately become dissatisfied where we are. We seek after another scenario, another person, a different place. It can mean living in regret from something that we did or chose that we can't get back. The word of wisdom today from Proverbs is to go deeper right where we are, to live in contentment, to not miss where we are today, but instead to go deeper and to drink deeply. This week, I stopped by my favorite smoothie and juice joint, and I got this beautiful, glorious smoothie. And I went for the large smoothie because I wanted this beautiful experience. Smoothies are incredible, but especially when you get to over 100 degrees, I think there's something so much deeper in the satisfaction of drinking a smoothie when it's 109 like it was one day this week. So it was fruity, it was rich, it was satisfying. I loved this. It was so good. Now imagine, as you don't have to imagine very much, if you're hot and in the desert. We just did that, right? Hot and in the desert, beads of sweat dripping down your back, and you're thirsty and you're desperate. Well, in the era that we're talking about, with this wisdom coming to us from Proverbs, they didn't have a smoothie spot to stop by, but they use another image that talks about this satisfaction. When you're hot and you've been hiking and you're thirsty and you're in the desert, he gives this image of running water. Well, if you're hiking and you have the choice of my water bottle that's been in my car all day, or I give you the choice of water that's just been drawn from the deep spring, cool and refreshing, which do you want? My water, well, okay, sure, you can have, no. You all said the deep spring, right? So this is the image that they use. They didn't have smoothie stops, but what they had is the difference between water gathered that grew stale and running water, which was fresh and pure and was deeply satisfying. So the writing in wisdom here, it says, drink water from your own cistern, fresh water from your own well. And verse 17 goes on to say, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Earlier on, it describes the forbidden woman being honey that goes bitter, but the wife has water that stays sweet. That was another way of saying running water. It was the water that was sweet and satisfying. And it says it stays sweet for the whole lifetime. The contrast is really stark. The wise man says, go deeper in relationships of faithfulness with God, with wisdom, with your spouse. You must keep going deeper to be satisfied. When you start off with a well, you might be able to tap into water right under the surface. But when you deplete that supply, you have to keep going deeper and drilling deeper in order to be refreshed, in order to have the water that satisfies, that water that you need. This is what it's describing in going deeper and deeper into a relationship. In verse 17, it's really curious. It says, don't share. Don't share with stranger. Don't share. Keep this just for yourself. Don't share from the overflow. This seems to contradict the rest of Scripture, right? You're thinking, we're always taught to share, but God says this boundary that you set up in relationship of faithfulness, this boundary leads to a deeper enjoyment. There's something sacred and close that you experience more deeply when you reserve it for you alone. And Solomon says, it might seem sweet, sweet as honey, something else that you chase after, but it will turn bitter. Instead, let your love, your overflow, your desire, your intimacy still be theirs, even the extra. Now, it's important to note that this applies to all of us. Flashing back to that old song lyric, no good woman, it could easily be no good man, right? This is talking about men and women. This is talking about all ages. This applies universally. They just happen to choose this example, the wisdom writer did. But the book of Proverbs speaks to all of us. We can chase after that which is not ours and lose that which is. The waters must be held close, delighted in, and enjoyed. Our no is necessary in order to say yes. We must say no to one thing in order to say yes to something else. We say no to one who is not our spouse so that we can say yes to the one who is. We say no to having all the answers so that we can live with a depth of trust in God alone. We say no to trying to control our lives so that we can say yes to living with the revealed wisdom of God that happens day by day. We say no in order to say yes. And this wisdom invites us into something so beautiful, this such deep satisfaction that comes in a covenant relationship that takes time. Now, it's easy to lose this. We can easily become dissatisfied with wherever we are, whatever life stage we are. The honey can seem sweet. The grass can seem greener on the other side. But other things, though seemingly attractive, will not be filling, the wisdom writer says. In verse 18, it says, rejoice in the wife of your youth. Rejoice has two meanings. It means to praise, to encourage, to appreciate, to value the other person. And it also means to set up and reserve something for them alone. So we rejoice in someone and we also set something aside. This is seen in the verse before it with the emphasis on the second person pronoun, your cistern, your well, your springs, your streams, your fountain. This is a calling to exclusive partnership, something reserved for just the two. So here's the way of saying that good practice brings good character. He's calling us, this wisdom writer Solomon, to say, set these good boundaries, and this faithfulness will lead you to deeper delight. Go deeper into this. On October 5, we will celebrate 14 years of marriage. And when we woke up that day, we have these vows, that this is the same exact paper that we had them written out in, and we shared in front of everyone these vows to one another. And part of these vows have been more challenging than other parts of these vows, as I'm sure you have found out too. But there's one particular part that's the most challenging, and that is because we are not the same people as when we met 17 years ago. You are not the same person that your spouse met. You are not the same person that your best friend met when you met. You are not the same person that your mom or dad know. You are not the same person to your siblings. You might scratch your head and say, we were raised in the same house? What? How did that happen? Right? We do this. But the thing is, we are not the same. We wake up each day and we grow and we experience change. And so there's this part that says in our vows, I will let you grow each day, accepting you as you are. A new person with each new sunrise. I promise to be faithful in good times and bad times, in sickness and in health. You are my soulmate, and I pledge myself to you forever. In standing there that day, I had no idea what that meant, that you will be different each new sunrise. But to drink deeply from my own well, from this cistern, is to wake up and discover what is new about Caleb each day. It is to wake up and to choose to go deeper with one person. And sometimes that takes a lot of work. That's what rejoice means. It's something exclusive, but it's also investing in time and saying, yeah, this is gonna be hard work. We're gonna drill down to some deeper waters together. But I will be satisfied more deeply than if I had. The same is true in my relationship with God. I am not the same person that got baptized 22 years ago this August. I'm not the same person that committed my life to Jesus as a teenager that day. I need to wake up each day and choose to go deeper and deeper in my relationship with God. That means I've asked different questions at different places in my life than I did at the beginning. That means that our relationship has grown and shifted and changed. That's what it means to drink deeply from my own well. Same is true with wisdom. God, I'm so thankful to God that I am not the same person, that we keep growing, right? Because wisdom is the awareness of who I am, who God is, and who other people are. And so in those intersections, I am a different person in how I relate to other people and how I relate to God. And in those places of everyday wisdom, we want to keep growing and keep changing. That's what it means to keep drinking deeply, to not run away, but to go deeper into where we are, to find deeper satisfaction in the place that we are. There was a notable spike in divorce right after people get married, because they look, they wake up, and they say, "Who are you? I didn't marry you." There's also this notable spike in divorce after 20 years or 25 years after the kids have been raised, and people sometimes wake up and say, "I don't know who you are." To drink from our own well is to be familiar, to go deep. Just like I need water to survive, I need connection with you. I need connection with God, I need connection with wisdom, and I need connection with Caleb daily. I need it just as much as I need water. And more than just to survive, it's for enjoyment. That's what Solomon is holding up, that it's something that we can delight in, drinking deeper of God, of wisdom, of the relationships of faithfulness around us. So we choose again today to drink, to commit, to go deeper, to drink because this is life, to go deeper and be satisfied where we are, enjoying all that is God. The life hack from Proverbs today is very simple. For deeper satisfaction, say no to say yes. To go deeper requires saying no in order to say yes. Today, we also come back to our cistern, the cup and the bread of the Christian faith. This is our story. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood of the new covenant. This is the covenant that will never fail us. This is the story of one who is forever faithful. If you have been unfaithful, if someone in your life has been unfaithful, Jesus is the faithful spouse. Jesus is the, I cannot say that without being moved, because he is the one who will never let us down. He is the one, even when we fail or when others fail, you can come to this table with hope today because of the faithfulness of our God. So we look forward to the wedding feast of the Lamb. We look forward and we rejoice in the one who has loved us from the beginning of time. So if you find yourself here today and you are sitting in a place, in a situation in life that you would not wish for, today I pray that you feel the delight and the joy and the presence of the one who has loved you for all eternity. Today we drink deeply, Jesus. We rejoice in you. Amen.